I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I'll bring up a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. It was interesting putting a show together today. I'm bothered by trying to plan out a show, trying to bring stories that I don't think really get justice, don't get coverage on conservative talk radio as they should, and the tone with which to bring you those things. And I'll be honest with you, I just edited a clip that I'll be playing later today. Of a young girl, she sounds like she's Canadian, and she's taken to the TikToks to explain her reaction to the experimental gene therapy that's been rolled out on everybody, and it is it's fired me up. I don't know another way to really put it. It's going to be later in the show when I play this thing. You should stick around and listen to it because. Here's the issue that I'm running into, and I struggled with, you know, last week somebody called the station, said they enjoy the show, I think complimented maybe my intelligence or I'm not saying that's self-congratulatory. They said it's, you know, good thinker, but he's just so negative. I am struggling with this at this point because this stuff is real. There are real people really suffering right now. This is not what I talk about on the show is not theoretical. Now, I've been talking about the inflation that was going to be coming for 5 years. And I guess that was theoretical at the time. Well, now it's here. This is what people who understood, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Paul Krugman, the New York Times anointed, air quotes here in the studio, economist, has now explained, and I'm going to let you hear his explanation because I've warned you these were the explanations coming for how he missed inflation. So the reason I bring this up is, I mean, when you see someone's house on fire, do you start when you knock on the door with a little bit of small talk? Hi, Fred. How's everything going? Is that a new car out there? Spiffy job. How's the daughter? Or do you scream at the top of your lungs, banging on the door, the house is on fire? Oh, there's Tom, the neighbor again, being all negative and dramatic. I'm telling you, the house is on fire. Now, not every minute of every day does anybody need to be consumed with this stuff, but I am tasked with filling 2 hours of talk radio talking about the news of the day, and I'm struggling with another approach to do that. And I have some ideas. They're just difficult to implement. I get knocked off my track with this video of this poor girl, this tragic victim of what we are living through right now with this experimental gene therapy. It is just unbelievable that this stuff is going on. And how do you narrate an insane world? How exactly do you narrate a world where people have lost all common sense? Now, I am perfectly open to, I'll repeat it again, maybe I'm the guy that's insane. I don't know if anybody noticed, I've got some new bump music, and one of the songs I chose purposefully was, what is it, maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the psychopathic, schizophrenic psycho. You'll hear that littered in from time to time. The bump music is chosen randomly, but I put that in there purposefully for the lyrics. Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the schizophrenic psycho. But I'm looking across this landscape and just saying, what are we doing? What in the world are we doing? I am also an agitator. There will trends continue. There will not be a place for me on FCC radio, I would imagine. That's probably the same for a lot of people. Now, if you want to go on air and talk about the political theater and the back and forth between the two parties, you'll be allowed to do that because that's the game. But if you talk outside of that, I would imagine that at some point, if trends continue, and as I say, right now, talk radio, whether it's over the air or podcasting, and podcasting is, you know, over the air radio is really more free than podcasting is right now because podcasting has to be hosted by most big tech. We've seen Apple remove podcasts. We've seen Spotify remove stuff, even though they've stuck with Joe Rogan. Over the air talk radio is kind of one of the last bastions of free speech. And I will tell you, it's at WIAB more than anybody else, probably in the state of Mississippi, probably one of the top 1% nationally. We're not told what we can say here, for the good or the bad. I'm sure the station owner sometimes cringes himself, but we are given these microphones. So I'm an agitator. I am going to poke holes in just about every mainstream narrative that comes down the pike, and I'm angry about them. There's just no doubt about it. I try to have some fun. I'm really good with puns. I try to throw some of those in there. And I say constantly, this should not affect all of your life. Love your loved ones. Have fun with your friends. That's what I do. When I leave this microphone behind, I go to the gym. I work off all my frustrations of the show, and then I'm off to the races. You know, I told some people I do some work outside of the station, and you know, I was talking to them there. I said, have you ever seen me in a bad mood? And they was talking to two people, and they kind of looked at each other, thought about it a second. They said, no. I said, it's because I don't bring my crap into work. I have a good time. So, you know, as I say, I'm struggling a little bit, but I guess I'll find my footing. I've got some ideas we'll work on, but above all, I'm an agitator. Let me get to some quotes in the day, and I'm going to read a little piece by Caitlin Johnston. Let you know kind of where I'm coming from. Maybe you're new to the show. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. What's this guy talking about? This is a quote of the day from Noam Chomsky. The general population doesn't know what's happening, and it doesn't even know that it doesn't know. that's kind of part of the show here. I'm not a poetry guy. I do not like poetry necessarily. Sometimes I felt like maybe I'm not intellectual enough for it when people refer to great poems and these kinds of things. I've just never really been attracted to poetry. As much as I love music, poetry's never been my thing. I don't understand at all the purpose of a haiku. I don't know. Where did that come from? What's the point? It makes no sense. It doesn't flow. It seems jerky. Nothing about a hike. I'm not a poetry guy. Poems that don't rhyme seems lazy to me, but I'm told that they're some of the most intellectual ones. So I'm not a poetry guy, but I will recite one now. This is thank you to Caitlin Johnstone, who I'm gonna refer to a story that she wrote. She's a fellow traveler when it comes to kind of world issues. I might disagree with her on some policy stuff, but she's a rebel, an outsider, an agitator, a troublemaker. So I like it. But here's a poem that she started one of her last pieces with. It's Percy Shelley. I don't know. Is that a famous poet? I have no earthly idea. Shelley? Is it Shelley and Yeats? Are those poets? I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm not a poetry guy. Anyway. Here's what the poem is. Rise like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number. Shake your chains to earth like dew, which in sleep had fallen on you. Ye are many, they are few. I'm going to expand on that. If, like me, you're not necessarily someone who really gets poetry, particularly when it's written, you have to kind of see it and read through it a couple of times. But here's a more contemporary poem. Kind of a contemporary reference to this idea. I'm going to read this poem one more time. Rise like lions after slumber in unvanquishable number. Shake your chains to earth like dew, which in sleep had fallen on you. Ye are many, they are few. Here's a more recent translation of that from the Pixar movie A Bug's Life.
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny?
say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Yeah. this piece, now, Caitlin Johnston is maybe more intellectual than I am. I needed, instead of a poem by Shelley, I needed a Bug's Life, really, to explain to me the ye are many, they are few. But this piece by Caitlin Johnston, I'll get to when I come back, was about how amazing it was to watch the people of Sri Lanka run their president out on a rail. He had to flee the country. They took over the presidential palace, the government buildings. They'd finally had enough. They were swimming in the pool, in the presidential pool. Lots of smiles there. Ye are many, they are few. I'm going to read from this Caitlin Johnston piece when I come back. Explain to you where I am, where my headspace is. You think I'm too negative? No, no. I'm just trying to encourage people to think slightly differently. I'll be right back.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run.
When I find compelling articles, I'll start going through them and just kind of picking out some lines that I think are important or profound. Yeah, no one's got time to read a bunch of articles on air, nor is that interesting and tedious and boring to listen to somebody read a bunch of stuff. With this Caitlin Johnstone article, I started highlighting lines and then more lines and more lines. So I'm going to read a little bit more than I normally would. Caitlin Johnstone, you won't hear about her. She's kind of an alternative. She's just a blogger. She refers to herself, I believe. I mean, she's a hippie chick. And a lot of conservatives, you know, probably look at her, oh, that's not what we're about. And she may have some ideas on things like socialism. I always find, though, that the people who understand the corruption in the system, they're easy to turn from socialism. If you maybe not turn completely. They're just people who know that the institutions we have right now are so massively corrupt that they need to be torn down. That's a good starting point, because then you say, well, you know, but you think you're going to find the angels among us to run these institutions? You need to rebuild a big government. Now, she's not for big government, but to people who are socialist, I say, you understand your system works if you only have angels in charge. You think that's a realistic goal? That usually makes some impact with them. But anyway, Caitlin Johnstone, she's a great writer, I believe. And this is the, you know, I started thinking about this charge of my negativity. I think this is one of the most empowering shows out there. Number one, I spend an hour a week telling you that you're in control of your health. I don't know what's more. If you start paying attention, start looking at some of the material that I present on that show and follow up with some of the natural health doctors that I highlight on the show and talk about and read from, you may be able to change your entire life dramatically for the better. Anybody else offering that to you? Now, when it comes to things like the government, I don't know how many times I've got to say it. There's a great video out there by Larkin Rose. He's a pretty famous libertarian. He may be bordering on an anarchist, which is not the black bloc Antifa type anarchist, but just someone who understands that governments just inherently are evil. And he's got something, I think it's called Tiny Little Dot or Tiny Black Dot. It's a great visual representation of the ruling class and their size in a picture to the 330, whatever we got now, 340, I don't know, I can't keep up with the population, 335 million Americans. So it's a graphical representation of the size of the populace of the United States and the size of the ruling class. It's called Tiny Little Dot. I really encourage you to watch it. It's only about 10 minutes long, but it's, to me, it's very profound. Yet this tiny little dot controls this giant mass of humanity. And so my empowering message from this show is, you know, I've said it may just be time for us to start saying no. It's just one word. Pretty easy. You know, I actually thought of an example of this, while it may seem a little silly. And, you know, I remember when a few years ago, if I'm recalling this right, do you remember when they decided to go from the Ole Miss Rebels to the University of Mississippi Black Bears? Do you know what Ole Miss fans said? Nah. Nah, we're not going to do that. My recollection is, and I'm not huge into sports ball stuff, I'll admit, but my recollection is they made this change very officially. They wanted to take down Colonel Reb. They wanted to get rid of the Rebels idea and the idea of Ole Miss, and instead it would be the University of Mississippi Black Bears, to be politically correct. And up to and including today, it is still the Ole Miss Rebels. I think even places like ESPN have had to just abandon any idea that we're going to be using Black Bears for, I don't know, maybe they're using it somewhere, but it's just like the people at Ole Miss just went, no. No, we're not doing that. And they stuck with it, and the establishment had to go back to it because it didn't make any sense. Everybody's wearing Ole Miss Rebels garb. Nobody's wearing a Black Bear logo. So, even the media now has to just, okay, well, they didn't go for that. I guess we'll just go back to Ole Miss Rebels. I believe that this power exists within our population. The word no. No, we're not doing that. This is from Caitlin's Johnstone's piece. If you've ever wondered, she's talking about the Sri Lankans storming their capital. They have a huge energy crisis there, huge financial crisis. The people are just in abject poverty. The government has collapsed, bad policies, the same horrible decisions that governments around the world are making. Just some are so big, it takes a while for them to do. The Sri Lankans more fragile than others, but they... This was her article in response to them storming their capital and sending their president fleeing for his life as they dipped in his pool. She said, if you've ever wondered why so much energy goes into keeping everyone propagandized in our society, this is why. If you've ever wondered why our rulers work so hard to keep us divided against each other, this is why. If you've ever wondered why we're always being instructed to take our grievances to the voting booth, even though we learn in election after election that it never changes the things that we most desperately need to change, this is why. Our entire civilization is structured around preventing scenes like the one we're seeing in Sri Lanka today. Our education systems, our political systems, our media, our online information, religions that have been around for thousands of years because the powerful endorsed and promulgated them are full of passages extolling the virtues of obedience, poverty, meekness, and rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. From the moment we are born, our heads are filled with stories about why it's good and right to consent to the status quo and why it would be wrong to take back what has been stolen from us by a predatory ruling class. And that's exactly what's happening. I refer back to this one particular line because I think it's so important. If you ever wondered why our rulers work so hard to keep us divided against each other, this is why. I guarantee you, in that crowd of Sri Lankans, there were people that 6 months ago might have viciously disagreed about certain topics. Some of them might have voted for that president. Some of them might have voted against that president. I don't know the system in Sri Lanka. I would imagine it's corrupt. Probably will continue to be corrupt. But I would imagine there's a whole lot of people in that mob that had pretty big disagreements because that's what the government wanted them to do. And then finally, the reality of what was smacking them in the face... economically, they said, well, we better drop some of these things and go ahead and start cleaning house here. We'll go back to arguing later. I believe that's where we are now. So I'm struggling with this approach to the show, but I believe I'm one of the most empowering ones out there. I'm telling you that Americans have got the power, just like the Ole Miss fans, who just looked at the Black Bear, the University of Mississippi Black Bears, and just said, nah, we're not doing that. When it comes to your schools, transgender bathrooms, drag queen story hour, forced masks, or heaven forbid, forced vaccinations. Parents have the ability to just go, nah, we're not doing that. You have this power. What did I report? There are 76,000 parents in Madison County schools, something along those lines. There are, I'd have to picture what are there, 8 school board members, you know? And I would imagine if you don't make it all political, if you don't label it a MAGA movement, but you instead say we're not going to put this insanity in our schools, I would imagine of those 78,000, 76,000 parents, whatever it is in Madison County schools, I would say about 95% of them, 98, 99% of those parents agree with you. So don't make it political. Just attack this issue as we're not going to do this craziness in our schools. And you can just stop it. You just say no. So I'll try to be cheery. I'm going to get to some economic stuff when we come back, because it's so interesting to watch them try to change the meaning of words. This is a strategy that's been used throughout time. It's not new to America. They're just catching on that when things start getting rough, they just start to redefine things, much like they redefined the term vaccine over the past couple of years.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. To my left friends, to my Democrat-identifying friends out there, I don't turn on you. I realize we're all getting screwed by the same people. Happy to debate anybody at any time, talk friendly about it, and then have a beer and laugh about some stuff. That's fine with me. I don't allow politicians to make me turn on friends or family. But if you want to maintain some hope in these institutions, if you believe that the government needs more money to do this or that, maybe you could at least get some people at the top that are right about some things. I think basically, I was kind of looking through my notes, I think basically the rest of this show is going to be about how incredibly wrong. You know, we've got this tiny little speck of humanity in a nation of 330 million people calling the shots. And they just are wrong, wronger, and wrongest. They're not exceptional people. This is the problem I have, even with people on the right who think that, well, we need some structures of government because human beings just can't be trusted to rule themselves. Founding fathers would disagree with you on that. But, you know, I know we pick and choose our founding fathers' admiration. But you think, well, we've got to have some form of government. Mike, you're just too radical for my taste. Well, so you say humanity can't be trusted to rule itself. We need to be ruled by humans. And these people are not, they're not exceptional human beings. It's amazing how wrong they can consistently get things at every level. And I'm going to cover a couple of them today. Most recently, last week, Paul Krugman. He's a Keynesian, meaning he's one of these more government spending is great for the economy. Now, you'll like that I target this guy. He's a New York Times guy. He's one of these liberal elites. He's a limousine liberal. So you'll like that I spear him. But it was Trump's economic advisor that said, yes, Trump is a Keynesian too. This is one of my big problems with Donald Trump. He is a big government guy. And I don't think that's ever going to work, but, you know, knock yourselves out. But Paul Krugman he's always got the ear of everybody. He's heralded as this top-tier economist. The guy is just wrong, wronger, and wrongest constantly. These people are wrong. Yet these are the people that are setting policies for the rest of us. He was on MSNBC to talk about inflation, and the Mika Brzezinski has him on to try to softball a few questions on him because it's quite obvious he's been horrifically wrong. You think he's wrong about this? I've got a quote from him for several years ago. This is a really funny one. But here is Paul Krugman on inflation.
Jason, what did you think you got wrong?
Well, partly it's that there's stuff that I didn't, you know, that nobody saw coming.
Nope. Okay. I don't know how many times I've set you up for this. Five and a half years, I've told you. Anytime anything happens, what do they always say? Well, nobody could have seen this coming. Just insert, you know, whatever it is. And he's about to insert a few things that nobody could have seen coming. Now, of course, none of the things he's about to talk about are actually causes, really, of inflation that we're seeing across the board right now. How is it that Paul Krugman and all the people he's around, apparently, because he says nobody could have seen this coming, how is it that some jackass in Flora, Mississippi, has been telling you for 5 years, all this money printing is going to cause really bad inflation? I've been telling you that inflation's been worse than the numbers that they've been providing you for the last 5 years, that when they tell you inflation is 1.6%, you and I know it's 5 or 6% a year. I've told you that they monkeyed around with the calculation on inflation. How is it that I know these things, but Paul Krugman, the esteemed New York Times economist, doesn't know these things and didn't see these things coming? This is what they always say. Well, I mean, yeah, I might have gotten some things wrong, but you have to understand, nobody could have seen this coming.
I think you got wrong.
Well, partly it's that there's stuff that I didn't, you know, that nobody saw coming. Nobody saw Putin invading Ukraine. I think nobody really thought.
And of course, you know, inflation started long before that happened.
About logistics, supply chains, or any of that stuff until suddenly they became a big problem. But part of it is that we did, in fact, end up with what is clearly an overheated economy. And the effect of that overheating on inflation was bigger than his past experience would have led us to believe. So
now, what I love about this is the economy was just doing so great. We just had no idea that everybody was going to be so prosperous and the economy was going to. He doesn't mention the fact that, well, we printed up a bunch of money. We essentially did helicopter money. We just printed up a bunch of cash, flew over cities, and just dropped it on people. Who could have thought that could be inflationary?
So it's always dangerous to extrapolate from the past. And in this case, I thought it was possible that we'd overheat. I didn't think, given the historical relationship, that it would lead to this much inflation. But the really important thing, I had another article this week about, mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? The big question is not, did we overshoot? Did we overheat? But how bad?
Yeah. So pay no attention to the fact that I didn't know what I was talking about. I got everything completely wrong up to now. Let's focus in on the important stuff, which is what do we do from here? What's amazing to me at the people at this level, whether it's CDC, whether it's Treasury, whether it's Federal Reserve, it doesn't matter how wrong they get things, they are looked to tell us what comes next and what should we do. Their credibility within the eyes of the mainstream media and the large number of American people, they still look to these air quotes here in the studio, experts. Okay, you got everything wrong for the past 30 years. Tell us what we should do next. It's like our medical establishment.
Bad is that? Is it going to be a really difficult problem getting inflation back down again? And that really comes down to the question of whether high inflation has gotten entrenched in people's expectations. Do people, is it like the end of the 1970s when everybody expected 10% inflation as far as the eye could see? When corporations were giving 10% wage increases, figuring, well, I won't have any problem passing that on to consumers because everybody else will be doing the same thing. And we have a series of new numbers coming out, all of which say, hey, that's not happening. This really does not look like the 1970s.
So here it is. This is Paul Krugman. Given time on MSNBC, he'll get to write columns. And one of the reasons that spawned this interview was that he and I think 8 other economists kind of did a little bit of a mea culpa. I'm saying, yeah, we got this wrong. Inflation did come. It wasn't transitory. It looks like it's sticking around a little while. This is him telling you. See, this is, I'm kind of taking this back. You can tell I've internalized a little something here. This charge of my negativity. It's not negativity. It's reality. Now, this guy's about to give you some hope. Is this what you want? I believe there's a term of blowing smoke somewhere. He's going to tell you, look, we've got some reports that say that this isn't happening now. But, people aren't expecting this inflation to continue. That's because they're constantly lied to about what created it in the first place and how it's going to be solved. Now, I think most people out there understand this doesn't feel good right now. So they're looking, they're clinging. Anybody tell me, please tell me it's going to be over soon. They're not going to tell you they're going to stop the money printing. The Federal Reserve is supposed to raise interest rates again this week. That ought to do it. We got 9% on inflation, and the Fed's going to raise interest rates to 2.5%. What the hell do you think that's supposed to do? Nothing. It's still a negative 7%, negative 6.5% interest rate. Negative. I don't even know if people understand that. Anyway, let me let this idiot finish.
And we have a series of new numbers coming out, all of which say, hey, that's not happening. This really does not look like the 1970s. The public does not believe that inflation is going to be a problem that goes on for years and years. So
the public would be wrong. The public would be wrong.
It's a peculiar thing. I mean, there's obvious stuff. The price of gasoline is down, but that's really relatively unimportant. What is really important is that long-term expectations of inflation are, if anything, falling, not rising. So, you know,
To be honest with you, it's because people can't believe that this is going to continue. They just can't believe it. A lot of people are going, well, in 2022, in November, when we take back the House and the Senate, that'll take care of the inflation. Yeah, printing money for endless wars and NATO and a police state is no less inflationary than printing up money for welfare and transgender studies. It doesn't matter. The money printed creates inflation. Anyway, Paul Krugman's so bad. I want you to hear and again, he's got I don't know, he's been around as long as I've been paying attention. 30, 40 years. He's looking very old and feeble, if there's any encouraging part to this segment. I mean, I guess that's rude. Maybe that's harsh. But, you know, he's part of the speck. He's part of that tiny little speck that's driving policy for 330 million Americans, and we're all suffering for it right now. Here's Paul Krugman, I guess back in the early 2000s. I want you to hear what he said about the internet and think about the fact that this guy's still writing for the New York Times, still has some level of credibility. They still bring him on MSNBC to ask him what we should be doing. What do we expect now? You've gotten everything wrong for the past 30 years, but tell us your views on what comes next. This is what Paul Krugman said in the early 2000s. The growth of the internet will slow drastically. As the flaw in Metcalfe's law, which states that the number of potential connections in a network is proportional to the square of the number of participants, becomes apparent. Most people have nothing to say to each other! Exclamation point. By 2005 or so, it will become clear that the internet's impact on the economy has been no greater than the fax machines. This is the guy. This is one of the main guys in the spec that drives things like economic policy for 330 million Americans, to be honest with you, worldwide. He thought the internet was going to be no biggie. Most people have nothing to say to each other. I think social media in 2022 would challenge that belief. Good grief. Wrong, wronger, and wrongest. I'll be right back. Right on time with me talking today about the speck, that tiny little group of rulers we have amongst us controlling 330 million Americans. Libertarian Party tweeted out, any system that allows a few hundred people in Washington, D.C. to rule over 330 million people is broken. The status quo means ceaseless nationwide conflict over every issue and election. Liberty and peace can only be salvaged through nullification and hashtag national divorce. That's right. I love it. This is stuff I've been saying. I've just been shocked for close to 20 years now. Went the realization smacking me in the face that you got 537 corrupt guys and gals in Washington, D.C. making rules for 330 million Americans. And what do Americans say? I tell you, it's the new American motto. It is, duh, okay. When it comes, you know, I'm talking about how Krugman, how all of these people, these institutions, and I'm not done. When I come back next hour, I'm going to set my sights on the health authorities. When I tell you that they get things wrong, I'm being a little generous there. They lie. They lie to you about things. They just withhold the truth, spin the truth, and just lie to you. Because to be honest with you, most Americans want to be lied to. Let's just be honest about it. You want your hair stroked. You want to be told everything's going to be okay. This is part of the reason I get the charge probably of negativity. Too real. You want to be told you can have endless tax cuts and huge military budgets, and there'll never be a price to pay for that. You want to be told you can get freebies from the government, free college, free stimmy checks. And it's just all free. It's just free money. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'm on the sidelines screaming, this is going to cause huge inflation, all this money. No. It's just free money from the government, free college, free military spending. I get a tax cut and you increase military spending? Hooray, the Republicans say. See, they lie to you. The Biden administration is taking this lie to a new level. I love this one. The White House Council of Economic Advisors wrote in a blog last week called, quote, "How do economists determine whether the economy is in a recession?" That's just a little something for you dummies out there. They're going to tell you. Quote, this is from their blog from the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Quote, "What is a recession? While some maintain..." I love this. "While some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitutes a recession, that is neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle." That's been an accepted definition of recession since, I believe, 1955. Economists, the technical definition of a recession for the past 70 years has been two quarters of negative growth. Now the White House comes out and tells you, while some, some people, some people out there on the fringe, completely recognized across the board for 70 years, two quarters negative GDP growth, that classifies as a technical recession in the United States. The White House now tells you, some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitutes a recession. That's neither the official definition nor the way economists... evaluate the state of the business cycle. Instead, both official determinations of recessions and economist assessment of economic activity are based on a holistic look at the data, including the labor market, consumer and business spending, industrial production, and incomes. Based on these data, it is unlikely that the decline in GDP in the first quarter of the year, even if followed by another GDP decline in the second quarter, indicates a recession. They're going to just redefine it. I mean, some people over the last 70 years, and by some we mean everybody, had accepted two quarters of negative growth was a recession. Not anymore. We've got economists taking a holistic look at it. And they say nothing indicates a recession at this point. They're just going to try to redefine it. You know, this reminds me of the masks. You wore one religiously, but you still got COVID. You got the jabs and the boosters, and you still got COVID multiple times. But don't believe your own experience. Listen to the experts. You can't afford all the things that you used to afford. Your income is going backwards. You're struggling. You're arguing with your spouse about whether or not they get to drive to see their sister next weekend because gas is so expensive. Don't believe any of those things because the government says everything is fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's going great. No, it's not. No, it's not unbelievable. Quit saying that, Mike. It's not unbelievable. It's expected at this point. Truth is treason in an empire of lies. I believe that's a quote from the great Ron Paul. But inflation is good for somebody else. This was just an amazing story to me. Inflation must be good for somebody. What do our good friends, the Saudis, do with all that oil money? They must be raking it in. Now, there are suspicions out there. The Saudis do not have as much oil as they say they have. And the Saudi government, I'm sure, lies. Well, we know they lie. They're a bloodthirsty, oppressive dictatorship in Saudi Arabia, notwithstanding the visit of every president to go over there and do the hanky dance with them. But what are they going to do with all those new inflation dollars and the high cost of oil these days? Check this out. When Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman directed authorities to develop land in the kingdom's arid northwest, he demanded something as ambitious as Egypt's pyramids. What urban planners came up with in response are plans for the world's largest structure, two buildings up to 1,600 feet tall, running parallel for 75 miles in a line across coastal, mountain, and desert terrain, connected via walkways, according to the hundreds of pages of confidential planning documents to lay out the idea for the first time in detail. They want to make two buildings, 1,600 feet tall, running parallel for 75 miles. I was trying to get some good... good understanding of that, that would basically be one building that starts in the heart of Jackson, Mississippi, and runs 10 miles past Tallulah, Louisiana. I know the route to Tallulah because we used to skip high school to go over to Daiquiri World, so that's a good measurement for me. 75-mile-long, 1,600-foot-tall buildings. 75 miles long. Our good friends, the Saudis. This is their plan. How many people could a building like that hold? Is everybody on the planet going to live in this structure? Unbelievable. So there you go. Our good friends, the Saudis. So while you grumble about your gas prices, while you suffer the effects of inflation, just know our good friends, the Saudis, are doing just fine. Thank God we've got 3,000 of our boys and girls over there helping protect that kingdom. They're precious. Be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the podcast. Was I talking really fast the last couple of segments? I got a new B vitamin complex supplement. I've been taking it kind of mid-afternoon. I'm having some problems sleeping. You know, the B vitamin's known to be energy vitamins. I think they're supposed to generally be taken with food. I'm drinking my full-fat coffee. It's got butter and coconut oil. I felt like that was enough, so I popped a couple of B vitamins before I came on air. And what, about halfway through, right around 9:30, I got completely flush. Okay, just feel my blood coursing through my veins. I was listening to Norm Macdonald has a talk show. I think it's on Netflix or something, and he had David Spade on. Norm Macdonald and David Spade, two of the greatest comedians ever to exist. And I was watching them. It was just interesting. David Spade was recounting he had played a drug dealer in one of the movies, and he said he had to cut up what was supposed to be cocaine, you know, with the credit card and snort it on camera. He said what they do, and I guess I'd never really thought about this. I never knew if it was real or what, you know, how they did these things. He said they crush up B12, or they actually take like a B12 capsule and twist it apart and pour out that powder, and that's what they use for cocaine, and they actually are snorting B12 in these movies when you see them do it. He said he had to do about four takes, and he was up for, I think he said, around 42 hours. He couldn't sleep for a couple of days, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So that's B12, so they're actually doing a vitamin when you see them doing cocaine on screen. Anyway, I got a similar dose last hour, so hopefully I'm calming back down. I can feel my head started to get a little hot there. I'm not sure if it was the topics I was covering or the B vitamins that I ingested. Anyway, we're talking today about the speck, this tiny group of our rulers against the backdrop of 330 million Americans who are existing with privileges at their will for some strange reason. Again, Larkin Rose, tiny little speck, or the little speck, something like that. Just look up Larkin Rose, the speck. 10-minute video on YouTube. You'll see what I'm talking about. But not only is that weird that 537 guys and gals somehow control the lives of 330 million Americans. I find that odd. But they're also horribly corrupt, and they're wildly wrong and dishonest at the same time. So Paul Krugman has done his little mea culpa on getting inflation wrong, but he tells you it's okay. People don't expect this to last long, so it won't last long. This is what he's saying. I'm here to disagree with you. Now, there may be a period of deinflation as we start heading into a recession, but you know what they're going to do to respond to a recession? Anyone? Anyone? They're going to print money. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to cause more inflation. So I don't want to give away the plot. If you're on, if you don't want to turn to the end of the novel, then forget that I said that. But it's not just the economists in the speck that are horrifically wrong, and we all pay the price for their wrongness and their dishonesty. But when it comes to the health authorities as well, I've got just a string of clips just to show you how wrong, wronger, and wrongest these people can be. First, I wanted to do a quote. Listen to this one. This is a great one. This is Jason Kristoff, Don't know who he is, didn't look him up, but I love this quote. Jason Kristoff said, quote, "To effectively brainwash and mind control a population, you first need fear. You then need a ritual or ceremony which relieves the fear. That ritual must be simple so anyone can do it. You must make average people feel like heroes for doing exactly as they're told. The tyrant is best served by being in full control of the fear, plus manufacturing the ritual that removes the fear. That pre-manufactured ritual will in turn trick the public into participating in their own enslavement and bring them willingly into the iron grip of the tyrant." Boy, I could probably spend the rest of this hour talking about all of the different brainwashing techniques and mind control techniques using fear to get people to do. That's how the spec rules. The spec tells one half of the population to fear the other half. The spec tells all of the population to fear Russia or China or Iran or North Korea. The spec tells you to fear this. The spec tells you to fear that. And this is how you fix the fear. Number one, give us more power. Number two, here's a little ritual you can do to make yourself feel better. And we certainly, I would imagine most people's mind flipped immediately to the mask, as mine did. Give them a little ritual. Has to be simple so anyone can do it. And then they'll feel like heroes for doing exactly what they're told. That is the mask, and that is the shots. So Krugman and some of these economists admit that they were wrong. But I'm wondering when we're going to get the mea culpas from the rest of the medical establishment. I want you to listen to some of these clips, past and present. This one is certainly making the rounds, as we found, that Joe Biden has got COVID. Now, it's going to be very interesting. I'm smelling maybe this is the plot to finally take him out. It is no longer deniable. I mean, even CNN and MSNBC are talking about his mental decline. They did a segment where they said he shuffles so bad they're scared he's going to trip over a cord. So there is some urgency with the Democrats to get this guy out of there. The drugs just aren't working. The drugs that they use to put him in front of a teleprompter to deliver a few lines, they're losing their effectiveness. Jill Biden should be in jail for elder abuse, for putting this doddering old fool in front of the entire world. But anyway, as Joe Biden has got COVID now, always remember this quote from Joe Biden not that long ago.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Now, he didn't actually say that two times in a row. Of course, none of us would really question the fact he just continually repeats himself. So Biden, Fauci, Thomas Dobbs, Walensky, they all told you that if you get the shot, you won't get COVID, right? Wrong. And then they went to this one, right? After that proved to not be true, we knew that very, very quickly, they called it the rare breakthrough case. You remember this? It's very interesting to watch the timeline of all this stuff. They started reporting on the incredibly rare breakthrough cases. Now we understand that these things provide basically no protection after just a few months, and now we're finding that people are more likely to get COVID if they've gotten the jabs. But so when they realized that you would get COVID very quickly, I mean, Americans can catch on to something because a lot of them got the shot and then got COVID. They said that if you get the shot, you're protecting other people. This is what they went to next. Quote, "When you get vaccinated, you not only protect your own health and that of the family, but you also contribute to the community health by preventing the spread of the virus throughout the community." This is from Anthony Fauci. Quote, "In other words, you become a dead end to the virus. And when there are a lot of dead ends around, the virus is not going to go anywhere. And that's when you get a point that you have a markedly diminished rate of infection in the community." Okay, so Joe Biden told you, not that long ago, a year ago or so, if you get this shot, you won't get the virus. Wrong. Anthony Fauci then comes out and says, "You won't spread the virus. If you get the shot, you'll be a dead end. You can't spread it." Wrong. The CDC director, again, why these institutions are still looked to for any level of advice whatsoever. I don't care how scared you are of COVID. Do you understand the people you are listening to are never right? And they're massively corrupt, but maybe that's a heavier lift for me to convince you of. But they're never right. Here's Walensky, the lying Walensky at CDC.
"There is a clear message that is
coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Wrong.
We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination.
Now, this is an older clip. I'm taking you through some historical clips just to show you wrong, wronger, and wrongest. So this is not her saying this now, because it is undeniable that there was not, is not, any pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Coverage, because unvaccinated people are at risk, and communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well. The good news is that if you're fully vaccinated, you are protected against severe COVID, hospitalization, and death, and are even protected against the known variants, including the Delta variant, circulating in this country.
So there you have it there. So the next thing was, so we went from, if you get the shot, you won't get COVID. Well, turns out you will. But if you get the shot, you're protecting those around you. You may get COVID, but you won't spread it. Because and I don't have the clip here, but Fauci said, because your viral load is so much lower. Turned out it was actually higher. Wrong again. Now they've switched to the, if you get it, it prevents hospitalization and death. More on that in just a second. And they just keep getting these things wrong, wronger, and wrongest. And we still are listening to these. I'm not. You're probably not. If you're a listener to WYAB, we've either beaten it out of you or you've left the station to go somewhere else, to go to a safe space where you believe that someone will stroke your hair and give you a shot and everything will be okay. This was one of the things that kind of spurred even looking at these things in a historical context was Deborah Birx went on Neil Cavuto, the globalist on Fox. Neil Cavuto, just one of the worst out there. He gives a constant platform to Anthony Fauci there on Fox in their vain attempt to try to get the Fox News viewer to accept the vaccine into their lives. But he had Deborah Birx on there, and that she just says this straight to your face.
I want to get your take on a lot of people looking at the president now having this and all these people who have been fully vaccinated and boosted and all that, and they're getting it. The 20% or so of Americans who've not been vaccinated might look at that doctor and say, well, why bother? Why bother? What do you tell them?
Well, if you're across the South and you're in the middle of this wave, what's going to save you right now is Paxlovid.
Yeah, so this is one of these women. This is one of these people. Been wrong, wronger, and wrongest. But now she's going to tell you what you need to do. You need to go to this new Pfizer product, this Paxlovid thing. She's wrong, right? She's been wrong. She was wrong about masks. She was wrong about the shots. She was wrong about the lockdowns. She was wrong about everything. But now she'll tell you what you need to do. What's going to save us now is Paxlovid. You can try. She's got it right this time. Pinky swear, this one's for true. Well, actually, it turns out she wasn't wrong about the vaccine. She was just lying about it.
But once we get through this wave, during that law, you should get vaccinated and boosted because we do believe.
What? Did you catch that word? Did you catch that weasel word there? This is supposedly what's referred to as, air quotes here in the studio, science. Tell us that data point again.
Should get vaccinated and boosted because we do believe.
We do believe. We believe. We believe. And I've pointed these things out so many times. I'm sorry to repeat myself. We believe. We hope. We think. We surmise. This has been leading health authorities, and I'm telling you, I've got a clip later. It's heartbreaking. It is a heartbreaking clip I ran across just a little while ago, based on someone who believed their belief.
As we do believe it will protect you, particularly if you're over 70. I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I.
What? Wait, what? Excuse me? You said what now?
These vaccines were not going to protect against infection. And I think we overplayed the vaccines and it made people then worry that it's not going to protect against severe disease and hospitalization.
So translation is, we lied to you about the efficacy of these things, how they would work, what they would protect you from. We overhyped them. We sold them a little bit now, and now people are questioning whether they should even get them. But, you know, now she says, you got to get the vaccine to protect illness and death. More on that in just a second. But so they just lied to you about it. I don't know what you feel like if you've got this crap pulse coursing through your veins and to realize that not only were they wrong, wronger, and wrongest, but they just flat out lied to you about it.
Will, but let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know why they, whoever clipped this thing, why in the world you clipped it, didn't even let her finish the term. 50% of the people that have died are older and vaccinated. Well, I'm even going to call into question that statistic when we come back. There's another story. It's from another country. You've got to go overseas. You've got to go across large bodies of water, pretty much, to try to get any real reporting of numbers, because the United States Health Authority is so massively corrupt, you'll never get truth from us. Let's see what's going on in England when we come back. Stick around.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, so let's just recap real quick before we go into this. So the evolving, air quotes here in the studio, science, or is it settled? I get so confused. Some science is settled, some is evolving. That the institutions have been pushing, and I think later this week, as the conspiracy theorists were correct, that they're taking the COVID hysteria and transferring it directly into climate because it's hot outside. We'll tackle that later. Because when it comes to the spec being wrong, wronger, and wrongest, climate is certainly one of the glaring examples of that. So they told us that if you get the shot, you don't get COVID. Oops. Well, you're going to get COVID, but you won't spread it, so you're protecting others. Oops. They told you, but if you do get it, you can contract COVID, and you can spread it to others, but it'll protect you from hospitalizations and death. Well, let's take a look overseas here. The British public has been distracted for the past few weeks with nonstop news of Boris Johnson's resignation as Prime Minister of the UK, speculation over who will replace him, and the doomsday scenarios over a two-day heatwave that has now been and gone. But while the mainstream media had the public attention focused on the above, the UK government quietly published a report on COVID-19 deaths. That report reveals that since the beginning of 2022, the vaccinated population have accounted for over 9 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths in England. And a shocking 91% of those deaths have been among the triple, quadruple vaccinated. Huh. Huh. So they're still clinging to here in the United States, and I would imagine the public health authorities, you know, at least Paul Krugman came out and said he got something wrong. He's explained that it wasn't his fault, of course. Nobody could have seen this coming. But your health authorities are refusing to do a mea culpa, and I'm trying to decide if it's healthy, because I know it's never coming. We're owed a huge apology, especially to those of you who were forced to participate in this experiment. It doesn't just need to be a, oops, we got some stuff wrong. It needs a on bended knee, exiled to an island apology at this point. But the U.S. may be the last to actually recognize this in the mainstream media here. I don't know what all countries I've covered in the past week. New Zealand, Australia are having record COVID hospitalizations and deaths. Who else did we report on the other day? We've got England. I think it might have been Germany. Germany is seeing the same kinds of figures, with the numbers of people that are being hospitalized and dying with COVID are the vaccinated. You don't like what's going on to the right, over that ocean to the right? Let's take a look at the country across that ocean to the left. Japan. 76% of people right now. Well, let me read the story to you. Here's the story that got me to take a look at their vaccination rates over there. Japan urges, quote, highest level of vigilance, unquote, as Omicron subvariant drives record COVID surge. Japan's government has urged people to exercise the, quote, highest level of vigilance, unquote, after the country reported a record number of new COVID-19 cases and a new wave of infections driven by the highly transmissible BA5 subvariant. More than 186,000 cases were recorded nationwide on Thursday, while Tokyo easily beat its existing daily record with 31,878 cases. The capital, along with Osaka and Fukuoka, I'm sure I butchered that. We're among 30 of the country's 45 prefectures to report record highs this week. Now, I want to also call into attention that this is in an Asian country where mask wearing is common and has been even predating COVID. If you want to know where they religiously wear masks, you know, to prevent the spread and all, this is where. Japan. So the masks, it's almost like they don't work. Here's what they say about Japan. 76% of people are vaccinated, with 60% of them boosted, and near universal masking at all times. I'm not sure. I haven't been to Japan. But they may wear these things by themselves on the toilets. Asians have been convinced of this mask ridiculousness for a couple of decades now, and I believe it might have started with SARS. I can't remember what kicked it off, but Asians are known to wear masks all the time. Experts say that widespread mask wearing, a high vaccination rate, and other factors have helped Japan avoid the catastrophic death tolls seen in comparable countries and without the use of lockdowns. Well, that seems to be changing now, doesn't it? Okinawa has a hospital bed occupancy rate of about 60%, prompting the local medical association to warn that the island's, quote, health infrastructure was on the verge of collapse, and ask people to not make emergency visits if they have light, cold-like symptoms. Mask wearing is still the norm, even after the government said people could remove them outdoors while socially distanced, especially during the hot summer months. So you've got a heavily vaccinated island religiously wearing masks for decades now, and they have seen this huge surge, just like Australia, just like New Zealand. And now we see in England that 9 out of every 10 COVID deaths are among the vaccinated, and most of those within the triple, quadruple boosted. Yeah, we need bended knee apology. And when I come back, I'm going to play this clip of this poor, poor, poor Canadian woman. I assume she's Canadian. I think I hear an aboot or something like that in the segment. But I make no light of what this is. It is, I got to tell you, this is some sad, sad stuff. Stick around. I'm sitting here trying to battle back against my negativity. But, you know, this is why I might be perceived to be negative, because this stuff is happening. It's going on right now. We can pretend it's not. And we can pretend that if 2022 midterm elections go well, that things like this just don't exist anymore, and stroke everybody's hair, the price of gas may go down 50, 75 cents. That would be welcome news by a whole lot of people. But the rest of the stuff is still happening. The greatest crime against humanity in the history of planet Earth is still taking place. It's hard for me to not report on it. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's such a shame. If you're listening on the podcast, you didn't hear it, but Tommy Longren, is that her name? A conservative commentator, a cute blonde girl. She fits the bill perfectly along with the Fox News and the legs there, and she's done a segment on Bidenflation. It's just a real shame. This is such a great teachable moment for everybody to understand a little something about monetary policy, which you're never taught, but instead Republicans are going to use this for political gain and continue to label it Bidenflation so you don't notice them spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we don't have. You know, that might be why Trump didn't really use any of the cash that he raised to actually challenge the elections. You know, the first $8,000 you gave went actually to the Republican Party itself and Trump's political PAC. You knew that, right? If you send in $100, none of that went to stop the steal. Right. It was the first $8,000 went to the Republican Party and Trump's PAC. Anyway, I think maybe that's why he didn't challenge the election, because he knew this inflation was coming. I mean, if I knew it, certainly Donald Trump knew it. And so the best thing he could do for his popularity was to become a martyr and be able to sidestep this inflation and be able to lay it in the feet of Joe Biden. I believe the Democrats probably knew it was coming, too. And they just put up this sacrificial lamb, this brain addled idiot, this corrupt piece of human refuse, put him in the office and then just try to dump the responsibility for the last 50 years of mismanagement of this government, dump it all in his lap. Now, he makes it easy because he is one of the worst ever. Maybe the worst president ever, but one of the worst politicians ever. But it really is going to work out for – they're just going to use him like kind of like a sponge, like a blame sponge. He deserves it. Don't get me wrong. But this could be a good teachable moment for Republicans to understand what causes inflation. Instead, they're going to use it for a political talking point and ensure that the inflation lasts significantly longer. I touch on this real quick, and then I want to get to the rest of this COVID stuff just to show you how wrong these institutions have been, and then show you the actual results of that wrongness, heartbreaking results that are going on right now, which explains my dour mood some days, because this is real, and it's happening, and real people are suffering. In conservative talk radio, one of the big things that's been talked about over the past few days is Steve Bannon's conviction on charges he avoided a subpoena. And what happened to Steve Bannon is disgusting. I'm not a huge Bannon fan. He gets a lot of stuff right, and the War Room does some good work too. But it's just something about the guys. You know, he's a former Goldman Sachs guy. Maybe I'm so jaded against the control that Goldman Sachs, the vampire squid, has over the entire planet financially that any alumni from Goldman Sachs just really got a high hurdle to get past with me. But I'm not really anti-Steve Bannon. It's just something about him. I don't know if he took that money for the wall stuff or not. I know if you like Steve Bannon, there's no way he could have ever taken any of that money. And if you hate Steve Bannon, of course he took the money. I don't know. I'm one of the few people who say, I don't know. It's certainly possible. And it's possible that that was just political. I don't know. But the thing is, it's difficult for me to get really, really energized and just really furious about Steve Bannon's conviction. Of course, there's a double standard. People have rightfully pointed out James Clapper, Eric Holder did exactly the same thing. We're not held to any account. They are still out on the media, free as a bird, enjoying the spoils of being in the corrupt political class. But am I supposed to really care about Steve Bannon, but not the ordinary Americans who've been chewed up and spit out by this government for decades now? Is nobody ever really outraged about them? Most people just say nothing about that. At least it wasn't me. If I just pay my taxes and obey, maybe they'll leave me alone. I mean, Americans, ordinary people, who I think are every bit as heroic as anything Steve Bannon is, have been chewed up and spit out by the Department of Justice for decades in this country. Am I supposed to be just really freaked out about the fact that Steve Bannon, who can afford all the attorneys he wants, and I would imagine maybe the guy's going to do a little bit of jail time. I don't know. It's not fair. It's not right. It's all the things wrong. It exposes the corruption of Washington, D.C. But, I mean, Steve Bannon's one man. Millions of Americans have been attacked by governments at all levels and thrown into cages, had their careers, their lives destroyed because they possessed a plant that the ruling class says is no good. Can we have just a moment of outrage for the fact we have the most incarcerated country in the world, and a lot of those people are just nonviolent offenders just because politicians got together and said, we forbid it. We forbid it. Not to mention, the amount of drugs that are coursing. Apparently cocaine's made a real comeback on Capitol Hill in the last few years. I'm just saying. It'd be kind of nice to know those things. Am I supposed to get really upset about Trump's guy Bannon? When Trump left Julian Assange just rotting in a cell after he allowed Mike Pompeo to persecute him and try to slow kill him, potentially kidnap and assassinate him, and I'm supposed to be worried about Steve Bannon's legal problems? Again, everything that's happening to Steve Bannon is political, it's corrupt, it's bad. But I got to tell you, my enthusiasm for that story is a little tempered by this is what happens to ordinary Americans all the time. Why don't we ever cry out for them? And is it wrong for me to point out that conservatives have cheered on the law and order deep state for decades and decades? Maybe coming to your senses now, but libertarians have been kind of warning you for 30, 40, 50 years. Hey, you might not want to give all of these powers to this giant federal government that has endless resources to go after anybody they want. We've kind of been telling you for 50 years, and conservatives have said, no, law and order. Don't do the time if you don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Isn't that what the refrain is from the right? And now you're finding out. I mean, it's taken a few years here, but you're finding out that this big apparatus that was built for, you know, things like terrorists, that's actually being used on you. Isn't that strange? God love the supercut. When it gets back to COVID here, the supercutters out there are just their heroes. The supercutters, the meme makers, the people that are, it's fantastic what's going on, particularly on the right, where all of the sense of humor has landed. The left has lost every shred of their sense of humor. But this is a supercut. When it comes to wrong, wronger, and wrongest when it comes to COVID, this was a pretty genius piece put together, a little montage of how it started and how it's going now.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID.
And when people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
Dr. Fauci says he has COVID again.
If you've done the right thing and gotten vaccinated, you deserve the freedom to be safe from COVID-19.
And this morning, I learned I tested positive for COVID-19 as well.
With three doses that you've been prevented, not just from serious illness, but from getting this virus, this Omicron variant, and therefore giving it to others.
Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews is in quarantine for 7 days after testing positive to COVID.
I'm fully vaccinated. It gives me some comfort.
Anthony Albanese has just tested positive for coronavirus.
Having received two doses of AstraZeneca, it's a very effective vaccine, protection from symptomatic illness and therefore risk of transmission to others.
You're okay.
So there you go. Another one bites the dust. All of these people. Now, I got to tell you, my suspicions that they actually got the real vaccine are pretty low, but I don't know. The fact that they're all getting COVID makes me more likely to believe that they actually got the shot, because for the average ordinary citizen out there, the shots are showing that you're more likely to get COVID and bad outcomes from COVID, including hospitalizations and death, than if you didn't get the shot. I'm amazed. This is a video. I don't know if you've seen this thing floating around, this little supercut. I'm amazed by the number of world leaders that have got some pretty bad tattoos as they roll their sleeves up for these shots. Shouldn't be surprised, I guess. I wanted to do that one on this side of the break because it's kind of funny, almost, in its absurdity, in its hypocrisy, in its just stupidness. It's just wrong, wronger, and wrongest. The spec, constantly wrong, constantly misleading you, eternally corrupt. But I did not want to do something that was even remotely funny next to this next clip that I'll do on the other side of this break of, here's one girl's, you know, pre- and post-vaccination life. It's heartbreaking stuff if you want to stick around for that. Be right back. All right, final segment for the day today. Man, this is rough. This is so sad. This is why I do the show I do, man. This stuff is real. It's really happening here. We're not watching a movie. I think that the powers that be want you to believe that you're watching something. And this was a big problem I had with like the Q movement. They wanted you to pop the popcorn. And that's exactly what it sounds like. Sit on the couch, do nothing, watch the show. And this stuff is going on right now. And so it does. It affects my mood. I don't know. Maybe I'm hypersensitive. Maybe I'm emotional. I don't know. This is a girl I ran across. She's put out a TikTok. And I just want you to listen to her, because when I say this, think about this whole hour I've been covering that the health authorities, this is from Thomas Dobbs, to a whole host of other doctors, including many of your pediatricians, your family doctors, have been pushing these jabs, telling you safe and effective. Don't listen to those crazy conspiracy theorists, the big tech companies, The CDC, the FDA, all of these organizations, and I've just broken it down for you. They've just changed, moved the goalpost. I'm not breaking any news there, but I just try to put it in a thing and just show you, you know, how it started, how it's going type situation. They have lied about it. You know, you could say they're wrong, wronger, and wrongest, but Deborah Birx just comes out and says, oh, no, we lied to you about it. I knew this vaccine wasn't going to stop infection. I mean, she says that. There's no consequence for her. She'll be back on Neil Cavuto next week or on CNN or wherever they want to have her. She's living the life of Riley. She's putting out books about her heroic work to try to save us from COVID. She's been pushing these shots. There are real consequences to this thing, and I want you to listen to this girl. I'm empathetic, sympathetic, whatever's the better one. This is just so sad. All right, come on, clip. All right, I'm going to call an audible here and cue it up a different way. If I leave this one hanging, I'm going to be very upset.
Am I allowed to say the V word on TikTok? Because I'm just about to, and we're just going to see how that goes. Vaccine. Let's talk about it. So in 2020, I had just won a fitness competition. I maybe had a small patch of eczema on my hand, maybe my inner arm.
I'm sorry, I didn't set this up properly. Let me explain to you what this girl looks like, because this is on a TikTok video. She looks like she's been hit in both eyes with two giant softballs. Big splotches around both eyes that are kind of purplish. The only difference between getting hit in the face with a softball because these giant splotches around her eyes is the fact that she's got some boils underneath her eyes. A couple of them look like they're kind of close to the bottom eyelids. They're these little boils, look like giant pimples. Oh, and then there's this one real scabby area on her scalp. Her chest is splotched. Her entire face is essentially deformed. If you saw her on the street, you might gasp, oh my gosh, what happened to you? Well, she's going to explain to you what happened to her.
Here, and that was it. Never on my face. Never, ever, ever, ever. I had my eczema so well under control for 29 years that at that point, I was not actively working with a dermatologist. But let me tell you this. After every vaccine shot, and I had three, my eczema got worse. And I'm not saying that the vaccine triggered my TSW. I think it was a full, perfect storm, cluster of things that happened to me. So as my skin got worse, I get told that I need to go see a dermatologist.
Now, this is what I've long suspected. Not only have hundreds of billions of dollars flowed into Big Pharma for the shots, but the knock-on money, that's where they're going to cash in. Listen to the Big Pharma recipients. Now that she's experienced this horrific side effect to these shots, cha-ching, cha-ching.
So I go to the dermatologist. The dermatologist prescribes me stronger and stronger creams. He says, oh my God, you're worsening eczema. You need to go on Cyclosporin. You need to go on
cha-ching.
Methotrexate.
Cha-ching.
These are drugs for people that are undergoing cancer treatments. And I was putting it in my body and just blindly doing what the doctors are telling me.
Uh-huh.
Fast forward to January of 2022. I go in full-blown TSW withdrawals. I was shaking cold. I couldn't regulate my heat. I was oozing metallic liquid out of my skin. I was gaining weight even though I wasn't eating. I literally just enjoyed myself last night and had crispy cauliflower, and this is what happened to me. So, man, if I can't even begin to tell you how upset I am. Holy hell. Do you know that I'm paying $1,164 on a medication called Dupixent? By the way, that's half off on a drug that I did not need prior to this. Prior to the vaccines, prior to. Sorry, OMG. I'm just so freaking fucking fed up. I don't want to be that person that cries on this app, but God. Really? Like, I feel like my whole life's been stripped from me. This is so freaking painful. Yeah, and that. I'm that person that cries on this app, but it's not about a boy. It's about my freaking life. Anyone else notice this? Like, I was literally just following doctor's orders, following the government mandates, and now this is my life.
Yeah.
So I should really do a light, airy show. It's kind of difficult sometimes. They're just following doctors' orders. Doctors, you should be ashamed of yourselves. These shots are showing everywhere. They're not saving lives. They're not stopping the spread. They're accelerating it. So we get a little bit of a mea culpa, a little bit of an oopsie from Paul Krugman about inflation, about the economy. But he says, don't worry about it. Now I'll tell you a new lie, a new obfuscation. The medical establishment has not even come out for a moment. Now, there's some great doctors out there fighting against this, no doubt about that. But not your state medical boards. They're still stripping licenses of people who dare challenge this narrative. This stuff is really happening. And I find myself struggling with, well, how do you report on this stuff and not just say, this is utter madness? And when I point out who was at the tip of the spear of creating Operation Warp Speed, I'm all attacked. How dare you point out that inconvenient fact? I mean, this is insane stuff. This poor, poor girl just following doctor's orders. The doctor's following the orders of the Canadian health system or the CDC here, blindly trusting these people. Real victims of this stuff. This girl's life is not going to be the same. I could do these stories 2 hours a day for the rest of the month. That's all the time I got today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.